my neighborhood. Almost all of Beijing looks like this. In fact, most of China does. I'm pretty sure that tower back there in the distance is the only building in a half-mile radius that's older than my parents. Urbanists talk a big game about how great it is to live in a pre-car city, a city that became big and became inhabited before the invention of the automobile, when it was expected that everyone would walk everywhere. Europe has pre-car cities. America mostly doesn't. But China has something else. Pre-car cities that were almost completely demolished and replaced with this sort of cityscape. Giant highway interchanges overlooked by giant high-rise buildings, all set back a long way from the street. A cityscape that only Le Corbusier could love. It combines the worst features of density and sprawl. Let's go somewhere different today. Let's go to the Hutongs. Called the Beijing Department Store, and as the straightforward name suggests, it dates back to the days when China really tried to be communist and didn't just call itself that. Before people were allowed to open private businesses, this was the department store. Today, it's a giant high-end mall full of Western brands in a district that is entirely giant high-end malls full of Western brands, but it's got a secret in its basement. Welcome to Beijing in 1987. This is a fake Hutong, preserved entirely as it was, right before China's growth began skyrocketing and the country was changed forever. Expense is spared to make this place look like a Hutong in 1987. We've got low-hanging wires, we've got fake cabbages, we've got deliberately weathered paint and tattered old posters on the walls. It's like the world's most extra version of those American retirement homes that are set up as fake 50s small towns, except this isn't necessarily for old people. Most of the Hutongs were torn down in the late 80s up to the mid 90s. Chances are, if you're a Beijinger over 35, you probably grew up in a place like this. Luxury Western brands. I don't know how they
got the train down here. I mean, it's possible that it's a replica, but if it is, it's a damn good replica. It's tempting to see this place as sort of a crass commercialization of nostalgia. The theme park version of Old Beijing. A simulacrum of a place that never really was real. But you know what's a simulacrum? You know what's a crass commercialization of nostalgia? You know what's the theme park version of Old Beijing? The real Hutongs. Sure, people live there, but the only reason the city of Beijing isn't tearing them down is because they're tourist attractions. Sihuyuan houses, the classic courtyard-style house in the old Hutongs, are some of the most expensive properties in Beijing these days. I'm reminded of how in Carmel, California, which is this coastal little tourist town where no one really lives, you know, celebrities have second homes there and stuff. There's this great mural that shows a bunch of comic panels of life in Carmel, and there's a couple tourists saying they even run it like a real town, with a mayor and everything. I feel that way about the real surviving Hutongs. This place isn't really a tourist attraction. This is for real Beijingers. This is the authentic fake Hutong. This character means tear down, and it's another way I feel like this Hutong is a more authentic representation of the old Hutongs than the real surviving Hutongs. It's not meant to present an idealized image of what Beijing was at some point, it's just a Hutong circa 1987, fossilized in amber, complete with the impending threat of being torn down. A threat that a lot of people living here wouldn't really see as a threat. At the time, the Hutongs were kind of seen as slums. The high-rise lifestyle probably seemed better to a lot of the people living here. When the U.S. tried doing something on a smaller scale in the mid-20th century, bulldozing mostly black urban neighborhoods and replacing them with housing projects. We see that as an atrocity today, but a lot of the people who lived there saw it as an improvement, at least at the time. One woman relocated into the infamous Pruitt-Igoe housing complex in St. Louis, spoke for the spirit of the times when she described her new home as a poor man's penthouse. And that's what a lot of Beijingers relocated from Hutongs into high-rises thought at first, too.
So this place also reflects nostalgia for a post-Hutong future. Not a future that didn't come, but a future that really did come. A future that China got with high-rises and highways, so many cars that the last digit of your license plate determines when you're allowed to drive in Beijing, to keep smog and traffic under control, a world where China has the world's fastest trains. The few beggars that are still around beg with QR codes. A downright utopian future to the people who would have lived in this Hutong. That future isn't fun anymore, because it's the present. But in 1987, it was fun. Today, China has gotten so rich that it isn't getting rich anymore. Right now, economists think that China's economic growth might have gone negative, although obviously the government isn't letting on to that. And even after China's current economic slump is over, it's stopped growing like a developing country, and afterward it'll probably grow at rich country levels, 2-4% a year, rather than the 8-10% that they had before COVID. It's no surprise that at the same time, nostalgia has become a cultural force in China, for the first time in a very long time. Cultural revolutionaries destroyed the four olds, and in the years that came afterward, as China began to get rich, there wasn't much nostalgia for the past then either, because it was clear to almost everyone China had never had it better. Now, though, a generalized look back at China's past, from Hutongs to the Han Dynasty, is all the rage, even, and in fact, even especially, I feel like, among young people. I've seen people walking around here who are definitely too young to have ever lived in a real Hutong. Young people wear Hanfu, long flowing Han Dynasty robes, for special occasions and when they're visiting old tourist sites. History has served me a decent time to have the opportunity to go live in China. I'm here right at the moment that China is waking up from its three-decade fever dream of growth, looking around and wondering where it goes from here. I don't think China's future is dark. I think the world's newest global power is just now realizing that it's also the oldest. And every challenge a nation can face, it's faced before. In fact, some economists who take a really long view of things say that China's recent growth has just been regression to the mean, that it was the last 200 years when China was a poor country that were an aberration, and China's share of global GDP is just now back to where it was before the Industrial Revolution. If you want to picture the future, picture a happy Chinese family walking around a fake Hutong forever.